Mikey's Breakfast on Brentwood and Billericay's Phoenix FM. So it's a Monday morning, and on the phone right in front of me now, I've got Bryony and Nazreen. Good morning, girls.
Morning.
How are you both today? Okay?
Yes, thank you.
Good. Very well, thank you.
I do hope you get up this early, and I didn't disrupt you or anything. You don't normally lay in bed till 2:30 or anything. Oh, I would love to do that. Right, first of all, let's have a chat with Bryony. Now, Bryony, you're a counsellor with St Francis Hospice, is that right? And a social worker.
And yeah, I'm employed as a social worker and qualified as a counsellor.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been a social worker for 35 years now.
Oh my word! That is a long while, and you're with the family services team. Is that right?
Yeah, the family support team. Yeah.
Okay. Can you just tell us a little bit more about your role?
Yes, I work as a social worker across the hospice, so that involves helping patients and families on the inpatient unit, also doing home visits when we're allowed, and working with people in the community. Obviously, with the COVID-19 situation, a lot of it is on the telephone now. And supporting the doctors and nurses within the hospice, and helping with a wide range of issues, practical, financial, as well as offering carer support and emotional and psychological support to patients and families.
So how are you finding counselling somebody over the telephone? Is it harder, or is it a face-to-face thing that you would normally do? Or
We would normally do it face-to-face, so we've had to get used to a new way of working. And it is very different. I find it quite intense on the phone because you don't have the image of the person to look at, the non-verbal communication in the same way. But it seems to be going well. We just had to adjust, and we do some work at home as well to keep social distancing. When I visit patients and families on the inpatient unit, I have to dress up in all the PPE, which I've now got down to a fine art of taking it on.
It's like dressing up for a fancy dress, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Today is the start of Dying Matters Week. How does that affect you as a counsellor and a family support services team?
I think that it highlights the importance of talking about death and dying to the general public, because I think people find it very difficult to do. They don't know where to start, and it kind of brings it out into the media. And I know that this year a lot of it is being run online, and the hospice obviously links into that with various things that are going on.
Okay. And also, I know the hospice is struggling at the moment with money, because they normally do a lot of outside fairs and fetes and galas, and they can't do anything like that at the moment, can they?
No, it's really difficult, and we're very much dependent on the goodwill of those that raise money for us, and people are very generous, and it is a difficult time, but we appreciate every penny that is given to us.
Nazreen, I know your husband was cared for by St Francis Hospice just before he passed. Could you, on the other side of it, as a clients as such, can you explain how they've helped you through the process?
Yeah, so I just want to start off by saying that our family is really greatly indebted to St Francis Hospice, because they were like a beacon of light at a really dark time. So Nabil was, he started getting back pain in January last year, and then by March we found out that he had a glioblastoma, which is a tumour in his spine. And chemotherapy wasn't really working. And by June, the oncologist told us that there wasn't really much more they could do. And Nabil was having quite severe pain and, you know, really headaches. So the day we got the news that they'd be stopping chemotherapy, we contacted St Francis Hospice and spoke to one of the specialist nurses. And that was a Friday. And by Sunday, they'd admitted Nabil to the hospital.
Oh, wow.
And even before, you know, he'd had any pain relief, as soon as he got to the hospice, just a beautiful view of the gardens, 5 or 6 nursing staff coming to dote on him, finding out what does he want to eat, is he comfortable, does he need anything. The chef popped by and said, can I get you some halal food? So, you know, just all of that, he said he felt 50% better just being in the environment. And then the doctors and nurses worked really hard to get on top of his pain relief. I think the most important thing that the hospice did for us was they gave us a safe space to talk about death and dying without feeling any shame or guilt or fear. And it was just, you know, really good, frank conversations. planning for, you know, whether Nabil wanted to donate any of his organs, what kind of pain relief he wanted, whether he wanted to pass away at home or in the hospice. So just having really frank and comforting conversations about death and making it, you know, we already believe as Muslims that death is just a transition into our next life, and you know, it's a part of life. And they made those conversations just much easier.
Do you find that that belief actually helped you to come to terms with your husband's passing?
Yeah. So when he was first diagnosed, I was obviously, we've got three children. They're 12, 10 and 5 now. So when he was diagnosed a year ago, I was just devastated. But Nabil was, he was amazing. He helped me remember that our faith says that when we have a trial like this, it's actually a blessing and there's a good reason for everything. And that death isn't the end. It's just a transition into our, you know, forever life with God, and that, you know, we will be together again. And the most important thing to do is live life well, help others, and have as good a life, and because death is part of life, as good a death as possible. Mm. And the hospice helped us with that.
Now, I know you had the counselling with your children as well. How did you find that helped you through the process? And was it St. Francis Hospice that helped you with that counselling?
Yeah, so that was amazing. So the children, all three of them, got counselling before Nabil became seriously unwell. So while he was still, you know, relatively well and still working. So they'd have like a weekly session with the psychotherapist. So the younger two were with the art therapist, and the older one was with the children's psychotherapist. It was fabulous because it really helped them understand the confusing feelings they were having, and then they'd debrief me afterwards as well, so then I'd know how to talk to the children. And then every time Nabil got sicker, they gave us help with how to break the news to the children and keep them in the know. And then after Nabil passed, I've been having counselling with the hospice as well. So I started that in February, but it's on hold at the moment. But that's been invaluable because I'd been trying to be strong for the children, I'd kind of kept a lot of my feelings inside, and the counselling has really helped me understand, you know, my certain reactions I have or certain difficult feelings I might have. So they've just been fantastic.
So many people do that with the passing of somebody. They just bury their own feelings. It comes out. It has to come out.
It'll come out one way or another.
Yeah.
I'm a psychiatrist, and I refer lots of my patients for counselling, but it took me a long time to admit that I needed it myself, because I just kept thinking, I'm okay, I'll be all right. And then my family and friends were like, look, you tell everybody else to do it. You shouldn't teach for it. So I put myself on the list, and it's probably one of the best things I did.
Well, Nazreen, thank you so much for coming on for this interview. And you, Bryony, thank you so much. Today is the start of Dying Matters Week. And if you need any help, any counselling, we're going to put some Francis Hospice web address on the website when we put this interview up there. Girls, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Bye.